Hello, everyone. Welcome to Prusa Live, number 29. I am joined with joined today by Mikola Sousa.
Just me.
You're looking a little lonely today, there, Mickey.
Yeah, normally I would have Joe here, but
yeah. So no Joe, unfortunately, today. Joe had another commitment that he had to stick with. So it's just Mickey and I today. Let's go ahead and kick things off, Mickey. What is your Prusa Live or Prusa Printers pick of the week this week?
I saw yours on the like edge of the screen. I think it finally happened, though it's only the two of us, but I think it's finally happening. Yes. Print. Nice.
I mean, super cool boomerangs. How can you not?
Yes.
Like, pick this, right? Like, I mean, granted, it was right on the front of the screen, and I was very, like, because you had already featured it, and I was like, maybe I shouldn't, because it's already been featured, but I was like, no, I love boomerangs.
I went to test it yesterday, you know, to the park here, and, you know, just first from, like, who knows, maybe it's just going to go, maybe it's going to loop a little bit, and I've thrown it, I'm like, whoa.
Nice.
It's awesome.
I did not test mine yet in the fear that I would lose it or break it.
Mine is like, you know, there's dirt on all the edges because sometimes I've thrown it into the ground, but I have a few pictures actually.
Fantastic. Anyways, this is the Trivenger by Turby40.
Yeah. Awesome design. Not very difficult to print.
Fast support. It prints in like an hour and a half, 2 hours. So
yeah, I did some variable layer height to get this really smooth.
Nice.
This, let's open the viewer. No? Yes. This leading edge. Oh, yeah, I just wanted that really smooth. So
yeah.
The picture. So I did some like stacking. So you can really see the trajectory of it.
Oh, fun.
Fun and some jumping action in the end to catch it. And I also have a video which is I was recording it and throwing it at the same time, so I didn't really manage to keep it in frame the whole time because I was following the boomerang.
Right.
But I think the video is still pretty fun. So you can see it going for a while, and it disappears, and then bam! Suddenly it's in my hand.
Yes.
So
yeah, that's great.
Anyway,
yes, super fun model. Great thing to go out and print and enjoy some summer days throwing. And you know, in times of still social distancing and things, you get to play catch by yourself. You know,
I think if you scale it down, it would work even on the mini. This is the Mark III size, so
yeah, I read some user print files, some comments on it, and there were people who did scale it down on the mini, and they said it worked just fine off of the mini too. So,
I would say though, yours is silver. Like, I really found it helpful it being Prusa orange when I lose it in the ground because not always I manage to loop it well.
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
it will be fine.
I liked the kind of metallic almost.
Oh yeah.
Harkening back to the little boy from Road Warrior or you know whatever, the Mad Max movie with his little metal boomerang kind of thing. I don't know. I liked the silver.
Yeah.
But yes, it would be much easier to see in Prusa orange for sure.
Yeah. So it's on the homepage of Prusa Printers, and I was throwing it for like 20 minutes and had a lot of fun with it. So if you want something for the summer, it's like under 2 hour print. Doesn't use much filament, and a lot of fun.
Yeah, you should see if you can scale one down enough that you can like throw them in the warehouse, and, and have enough loop in the warehouse.
This one goes really far. It's like hard to say, but like the baseball field, like where the what's it called in English? Yeah. Well, anyway, the smaller rectangle basically. Yeah. It needs like tens of meters to really have enough space.
Very nice. All right. So, speaking of Prusa printers, we have some news. You released a new Prusa printers devlog video.
I did. Yeah. So some of it was based on user feedback, some of it was based around our upcoming features and services. So, but I'm really happy with this devlog got more views than the previous ones. So, I guess we were building a bigger audience, or it was more interesting. Either way, yeah, makes me happy when I work on something and it does well. So, first thing is two-factor authentication. I'm sure you know it from, you know, 50 other pages. Sometimes you get SMS messages, sometimes there's an app. We use an app. And yeah, basically protects your account more, which will be especially important with the upcoming Prusa Connect, because that thing will talk to your printer and that thing heats up. So yeah, just safety first. So there's now a way, it's optional. Oh yeah, meme has to be in there. It's optional, but if you want to secure your account more, and especially if you're using that account for eShop, for example, just yeah, extra layer of security, which is nice. But there are also tons of other nice features. The 3D viewer, for example, I love that it now has a wireframe mode, so you can see like how detailed the model is and the triangle mesh underneath it, which is what the printer will be printing in the end. And also an X-ray mode, which is awesome for hollowed models and models with holes inside them, so you can peek inside and really easily see what's going on. I love the performance of the viewer, by the way, considering it runs in the browser. Like, it can handle really big meshes pretty smoothly on all my machines. So yeah, I think that's super nice. Yeah, the search, I think we already have shown that. Basically, in the browser, you can type the first few letters from Prusa printers. I press tab, and now I'm in the search mode, and I can say flower pot, and it will take me directly to the results page of the search on Prusa printers, which is awesome. And yeah, the filters. So if you're filtering something on the site, it used to sort of reload and jump up and down. So now the filters are anchored. They don't move at all, which makes it really easy to, you know, drag the sliders and watch the prints on the right side refresh the results, which I think it's nice.
Yeah, for sure. There are definitely some nice features. Of course, I know you had mentioned it on Twitter, but one of my favorite features is the now new loading icon.
Oh, the loading icon is so
good. It's adorable. Whoever came up with that needs a raise.
Fun fact about the loading icon, we can actually, like, while we're talking about it, show it. This is not a GIF. It's not a video or anything like, of course, it's video on YouTube, but on the side.
It's an SVG.
Yes, it's an SVG. So it's totally vector. It's like
2 kilobytes
long. And that's just because the minimal file size, the headers and stuff like that, is just like 20 lines of code. And it does all the hexagons, the two circles, the line and the expanding orange filament and the whole animation. So it has infinite resolution. It's perfectly sharp on all screens and it's so tiny.
It's silly, but it's great.
It's great. Yeah, and the whole page is now faster, in part thanks to WebP support, which, in comparison to some PNGs, like, it's pretty dramatic. The data usage is way smaller, because WebP can also do transparency, but it does it better. So, yeah, overall, many new cool features. And I think we can do a little sneak peek for the viewers for what's coming up next. I don't think even maybe Matt, I don't know if you know about all of them, but one of them is makes. So in the comments there will be like a little slightly different workflow for uploading pictures, and you will be able to flag them as makes, and you will see makes on your profile. It's still a work in progress, but I think it will be very nice.
It's really great. Like, I like makes on other platforms and things like that, especially if it gives a better commenting option for people to say, like, what settings they used or things like that. Because sometimes you'll see a make and you're like, this is so much better than even the original. Like, how did they pull it off? And if people have the ability to, like, you know, kind of comment a little bit better, it's super useful.
I also like it. Like, this is, of course, probably the primary use case. Like, seeing other people make it is super helpful. And the other thing for me is like building a database of what I've printed to make it like easier to show people, because often I print something and I either don't take a picture of it or it's my gallery in, you know, 2 years ago and I won't scroll it far for it. But if on Prusa Printers I will have like a memory of all the things I've made and I have uploaded the pictures, I think that will be handy.
Maybe we can do a contest in the future for makes. Like reward people who are actually printing a lot and uploading their makes and showing off the work that they're doing, you know, it's kind of like our Prusa Live contest in some ways, but could be a very, very interesting thing to do. Because, you know, the people out there that are running those machines, you know, all the time, like let's give them some credit for doing so.
And another thing will be pictures in the Messenger, which will be super helpful too. We have some people talking about Prusa Connect in the chat. Actually, we have beta testers in the chat, which is nice.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. As they say, it's very beta right now. So there's a reason why we're not sharing it publicly, because it's really very beta. It works. I've been using it for like months by now. But
I finally got my email yesterday.
Nice.
But I need to get the hardware set up to do so.
It's rough around the edges, I guess is the way to say it. Like, you know, not always does the, like, pulling the serial number from the printer work, and, you know, some features are not really working 100% yet. So I think we would frustrate more people than they would appreciate it in the current state. So I think it's well worth to spend time polishing it right now before we share it to the masses and people waste their time, you know, trying to make it work. We really want to have it running smoothly by the time we release it.
Yeah. One of the reasons why a lot of you guys love us so much is because of the high quality things that we put out. But sometimes it takes some work to get there, to get to that point. So
people in the chat are asking if they can be beta testers. We will be expanding. Like right now, I think there's enough people. It would just create more noise. But we will be expanding the number of users in waves so that we also stress test our servers and, you know, how it handles more users. So we will be expanding that. I'm sure we will give you some opportunity in the future on the streams or on our social media to become beta tester in the future.
We'll definitely get there.
Yeah. Will there be option for the Mark III S with Prusa Connect? Yes, that's what we are actually testing right now.
Yeah. Just
a quick answer to a question that popped up.
Yeah, that is the primary platform that everyone's testing right now.
Let's go back to this in the Q&A. I see a lot of questions, and I would love to spend 20 minutes talking about it now, but we also want to keep the schedule. We have guests waiting in the in the guest room, so...
One other piece of news. Our Timekeepers contest is closed. It finished on Monday. So some really, really blew us out of the water. Submissions there. Really, really pleased with how everything turned out. So we will probably almost undoubtedly be announcing the winners in 2 weeks on the next show.
Yeah, next show.
Yeah, so you know, hold for us then. But yeah, you guys just absolutely just nailed this one.
Some of them are so, like, I love some simple but really like well executed designs. I can really appreciate that.
Yeah, and on the I'm really happy that we did. We went ahead on this competition and split it into two categories where we are rewarding the people like this mechanical bird wall clock that, you know, is a super, not only is it gorgeous, but it's a super mechanical, you know, complicated design. But we're also rewarding the people who are coming up with simple designs but are elegant and beautiful and things like that. Too,
agreed. So. Good call on your side, Matt. That was a really good idea to do that.
Yeah. I don't know. My house is probably going to be filled with clocks after this contest because, like, there's so many of them that I want to make. And so, yeah, we shall see.
One last thing before we go chat with our guest.
I guess.
Prusament. So we had Lipstick Red in PLA I think, since the very beginning of our initial Prusament release. So now, in matching almost, like, really perfectly, is Pedgie Lipstick Red. So it's the same very vibrant red. The Pedgie is not transparent at all. It, I don't think I could tell them apart, which is strange because PLA usually has different optical properties. It's shinier and, yeah, it just looks different. But the Prusament team really nailed it. So it's... looks
it's such cool. It's such a great red too. Like you say, it's a really vibrant, really nice red.
Yeah, really strong red. Perfect for, you know, buttons that, you know, stop or Darth Vader, the front panel, and all sorts of these really reds that need to pop up and scream at you, I'm here.
Yeah, really gorgeous. So that is available now. So head on over to the eShop and pick up some Lipstick Red Pedgie if that is something that you need for your projects coming up, or if you just want to play with a new color and a different material. So, okay, we have a great guest today. He may not be as kind of well-known as some of the people that he actually works with, because he does a lot of collaborations with different makers, a lot of people that have actually been on the show before. But he makes some really incredible models. I think, like, take some of these other models to a whole nother area. So we are joined this week by Fred. And let's get him on in here. Here he is.
Hey, Fred.
Hi, Fred. Hey, guys. How are you?
Great. Fantastic. Nice to see you here.
Thank you for inviting me.
So one of the big things that you make is dioramas that go with other models, and not exclusively, but very often with Wexter's models. You're part of the crazy Wexter crew out there. you know, You've definitely collaborated with some other people. Who else have you collaborated with other than Wexter?
So I did a couple of dioramas with the Fotis models.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's actually a Fotis Batman here.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Batman spotlight I made for the Batman because Wexer was being lazy and he didn't finish his Batman.
Shots fired.
I also did a couple of models for the Escapa, Fernando. So I did the Batcave for his Batmobile. Also did a Super Mario diorama.
Oh, yeah.
For his minis. And we did also a collaboration, we did a collaboration with Fernando, Wexer, and myself. Exactly.
the Daft Punk minis. So,
exactly, the Daft Punk minis.
If I'm correct, Wexter did the bodies, Fernando did the heads, and you did the stage diorama.
Yes,
for indeed. Them, yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of, we were on Discord and we all agreed, or actually didn't agree on doing it, and then we all did our part, and it was pretty cool experience.
Yeah. I have to say, you have probably the best shelving background that I've seen on all our guests so far, because it's full of prints.
Right.
There's no space left.
It's nothing.
That's awesome. I really like it.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, you know, when we are doing either YouTube or Twitch chats and we're talking, or when Discord, you know, why not show some of the models that I made and painted, and I was running out of space, so this was an attempt to actually get more space to store the models that I print and paint. But yeah, I'm running out of space again. It's not easy.
I love that Wexter's models, like, you know, Wexter's minis are kind of intentionally, you know, like simplified, low detail kind of things. That white does not show up at all there. But then you come along, and here's a Hellboy there. You come along and make these dioramas that, like, bring so much more kind of, like, life and detail to everything, that, like, it's almost like a full step above the simplification of the minis themselves.
Yeah. It's pretty pretty funny because when I started doing 3D printing, I didn't know Waxer, and I found these minis really awesome, and I printed them. But then I felt like there was more than that could be done with them.
Yeah.
So I started painting them, and then I said, "Well, okay, but this is not enough. I need some props." So I started with some props, and I started doing this, and then I met Waxer, and kind of chatting and discussing models, and I kept on increasing the complexity of the dioramas. Some of them are quite big and complex. And then we got to the point where actually sometimes we just, he makes a model, I make a diorama, and then he adjusts the model to the diorama, or I create a diorama and he then creates a mini for it.
Really? It sometimes happens in reverse?
Yeah, a couple of times I've asked for kind of custom minis to fit dioramas.
Were you inspired by, you know, some kind of scene or something like that? And you're like, I want to make that background and I need the mini to go with it.
Yeah, I see a couple of times. I have literally hundreds of other ideas, but he always says no. Because, you know, it's not all about me, I guess. But we've been working on these for, 2.5 years, I think, now. I think I'm also trying to make an effort on not just making the complex dioramas, also sometimes making simple dioramas because people really don't want to spend 10 days printing and then having hundreds of parts and then painting them and gluing them. Yeah. So there's a balance between complexity, but yeah, it's been pretty fun. And
I know what I'm printing next, I guess. I haven't gone through all your dioramas until now, and
yeah, there's around 80 something dioramas.
There's a lot of them, yeah.
The Freddy Krueger that was kind of in that first page is one of my favorites. And I love that you're incorporating LEDs, you're incorporating lights into a lot of things and things too to kind of make them feel all the more real.
Yeah, so that was part of our, in the several Discord groups and in a group of friends. We have people that are really good at working with LEDs and servos and stuff like that. So we challenged each other of pushing the dioramas a little bit further. And at one point, I started building those features in so that people could actually take advantage of them if they want to and make something even nicer.
Yeah. I see you've got your Stargate ship behind your head there, and I believe that one lights up too, right?
This one does light up. Put a small fairy lights in it. I have seen some people actually doing with EL lights. There's also over here, there's a wimp. You can see his eyes. And actually the funny thing is with this guy, I made it for a friend that asked me if I could make one, but I've actually seen a motorized version with LEDs of it on Facebook. And it was like, whoa, it was really nice. So yeah, I try and make it in such a way that people can actually build even further. So
yeah, they kind of remind me of these things that are you know kind of catching on, these book nooks. Have you seen any of the book nooks?
I actually have 3 book nook dioramas that I haven't finished. I have a cyberpunk one.
Nice.
And I have a StarCraft one also, and a couple more in the making.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, I really like the idea of book nooks. My good friend Jen Schachter released one for, I believe, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. And it's the wardrobe that opens back through. I really love the idea of them. And these dioramas, like I say, just remind me so much of like the idea of a book nook.
Yes.
And so kind of going with that form factor and incorporating it in, I think, is a great option.
Yeah, the difficulty is that most of them end up with a substantial amount of parts.
Oh, yeah.
That's what Grumpy Dude is making fun of you in the chat, like, simple dioramas. We all know they always have 2,000 parts.
So, funny enough, I had printed the Cyberpunk diorama, and then he said, Fred, I don't mind. I'll print it and I'll build it for you. And I sent him a Dropbox link, and he looked at it, and there were hundreds and hundreds of SDLs in that. And he said, no, sorry, I give up. Sometimes I actually do provide instructions with my models, because it is, you know, there's a lot of parts, a couple of prop weapons that I've made. They have more than 50 parts, so it's, without knowing how they come together, it's really hard. So in that case, I'll add some instructions.
But, yeah. Do you personally have a favorite diorama that you've made so far?
I think the one that is one of my first ones, but I really liked it, and it was simple enough, which is the Frankenstein one.
Nice.
Because this actually moves up and down, and he can also tilt. Yeah. And it was one of my first ones. You know, I'm trying to go a little bit back to the basics and do the simple things. So this one is always a special one for me. But yeah, I don't know. I love all of the stuff. I only do the models that I like. So
right.
And
right. Yeah. So other than dioramas, what are some of the other models that you made? You talked about like some prop guns and
things like that. Yeah, so when I started all this stuff, I started with a Blender doing things that I like. These like from Heroes of the Storm, there's a...
Did you say Blender?
Yeah, but the thing is...
Check.
I know. No. So this is where it goes bad.
Okay.
I actually didn't find it... precise enough for what I wanted to do. So I never actually released these kind of models. And then I ended up, I was Yuri, 3D Workbench Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a lot of cool props. And I kind of got really interested in doing props. So I started doing like, you know, mm-hmm. display props. And that's something I've been doing a lot. There's ships. Weapons from Fallout, and there's a Star Wars, done tons of badges. I've recently done all of the expense badges and kind of multicolor prints so that people could actually just print even without MMU. And that's something I quite like. And because I was doing dioramas, I ended up needing, like in a diorama, you need a basket, like in the case of the basket for the Frankenstein, or you need a gas can for example, the Punisher diorama. Mm-hmm. So I started building all of these tiny accessories, and I realized in tabletop world, a lot of these things make sense. So I have, after a couple of months, I think also Fotis and Waxer were always pressuring me to not just do dioramas and doing a lot of other stuff. So I actually started doing a lot of tabletop props. So I have a catalog, probably what, 60, 70 models for tabletops, like walls, fences, gas cans, crates, and all the basic things that probably a lot of people that have access to a 3D printer can print quite quickly. And, you know, create either a diorama or a tabletop scenario. Scenery.
Yeah, it really enhances tabletop gaming when you start having all the little bits and,
yes,
and things.
Exactly. And there's Star Wars game, tabletop games, you know, and there's tons of little props you could add to one of those games, or a cyberpunk game, like build some containers. Easy to print, no supports needed. And you could just paint them and just add them to your tabletop game, and they're just a nice element to have.
And also perfect for like the model railroad crowd.
Yes.
that becomes a little bit of a tongue twister. Yeah. That, you know, if you have a mini gas can that works in your diorama, the mini gas can would also work for a gas station at, you know, a railroad.
Gas stations.
You
know, simple things. A lot of the times I try to make them so that you can actually print it on an FDM, even tabletop stuff.
Which is appreciated, yeah.
Yes.
You know, resin is a little bit more available nowadays, but still, if you want to print something like a ammo box, just print it in FDM. It's quick and cheap, and you know, you get it done in a couple of minutes. So I try my best so that these things can still be printed in FDM, which I think helps a little bit.
Very cool. So you had mentioned that you were in Blender.
Yes.
but it sounds like you have moved on software wise. What is your primary software tool for your designs?
So I've used Fusion 360. Probably now, 3 years that I've been using Fusion. And it's just my background helps me.
Are you using purely the, how to say it, the CAD environment, or are you also using the like mesh editing workspace?
So I use not only the normal Sketch and Solid, but also Sketch and modeling environment. But
that's
also
what I thought.
Surfaces. A lot of the times, I try to avoid the modeling environment, and I do a lot of stuff in Surfaces and Sketch and in Solids, and it's really powerful. Rarely I do use it. Sometimes I go into ZBrush. Wexler was kind enough to teach me ZBrush, the basics of ZBrush, so that I could do some things like the Bat Cave, where I had to sculpt all those rocks. Doing it in Fusion, it was going to be a waste of time. And then I just sculpted it. Doing damage on walls or damaging a part, that's much easier to do. You know, and there's a nice workflow where you can take something from Fusion into ZBrush, and it keeps all of the right dimensions, which to me is really important, especially when I'm looking at tolerances and kind of building these complex parts together. Fusion does really give you that, but then ZBrush can give you all of the texturing and details and damage that you can get on a part. So, yeah. And Blender was good, but it didn't give
I think most people are not even aware that Fusion has a mesh editing environment.
Yeah.
Just like Blender, basically. It's the same thing. And you can, I don't think you can jump back and forth, but you can definitely, inside the one app, you know, turn the solid into a mesh that you can then edit. So
you can actually do some cool stuff, because the Fusion modeling doesn't necessarily create a solid. It can create actually a surface.
That's cool. I don't really use it, so I don't know.
Yeah, so there's I know a couple of people that are like insanely good at creating complex organic models in Fusion, to a point that like I just look at it and say, I don't know what you're done there, but I would love to know. But yeah, of course it has its limitations. It's not doing texturing. It's not, you know, applying textures to surfaces, but that's not the point of the software. If you are able to use two softwares to do that, then you get it into the best of both worlds, I guess. And Fusion is not a difficult software to learn.
I agree. It's what is it? Easy to
get started.
To start
hard
it.
To master.
Yeah, hard to master. Like the knowledge gap is pretty high, but it's not that difficult to start doing sketches and some X routes and. Yeah.
I have a friend he started Fusion a couple of months ago. He actually made a full-size 3D printable cosplay sword. Even helped me out with some stuff in Fusion that I needed to get printed and tweak and built. And it's quite simple to learn. Probably mastering takes a little bit longer, but not that much more.
Yeah,
it's very cool. Do you use any other tools? What's your kind of workstation and things like? Are you a tablet guy? Are you a space mouse guy?
Well, I do have
keyboard and mouse.
No, for Fusion, I use a lot of keyboard and mouse, but I do have a 3D space mouse and a Wacom with a 3D pen.
Yeah.
Because the Wacom tablets, as they come with a normal pen, do not work well with Fusion in 3D, but they have a 3D pen that actually is made for CAD software, which
really?
Is really good.
They have a separate pen that...
Yeah, so this is the standard pen, and this is the 3D pen. You see there's another button there that allows you to pen. Yeah,
so this allows you to pen.
And then some functions become available with this one that aren't available with the normal one. It's pretty cool. It works well with the space mouse and all that. You can actually do a lot of the things without having to use a keyboard. Still, a lot of the times I just find myself just putting my hand on the keyboard and leaving the space mouse to the side.
Yeah.
But other than that, no. Just a lot of memory in your computer, good CPU, and you can do everything in Fusion.
Yeah, that is definitely a key there, is making sure that your PC will handle it.
Yeah, indeed. I think Fusion is consumes a lot of memory if not used properly, and it's a big problem that I've had.
Oh yeah,
like this the Stargate Pyramid. Mm-hmm. Actually, I spent a year without being able to actually test print it and release it, because those faces were so complex that Fusion was struggling to export it, and when I exported it, it had problems, and no software was actually able to fix them.
Wow.
So that was hard to do.
Fusion can be very derpy sometimes. Like, you redefine one diameter, and then you see it all just fall apart, although the timeline turning orange and red. And
yeah, there's a lot of things with constraints that need to be made properly.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the Freddy eye.
Yeah, the Freddy.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was made to use the LEDs actually on the boiler, but there's also another LED on the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a space to put another LED on the stairs. And I've done another one that I haven't released for the Doctor Strange, the window. And it also has a space for LEDs so that it can shine on the inside. I haven't actually finished it, but you'll have a window.
What do you use for the LEDs? Are those like NeoPixels, like single?
Depends on what you want to do. A lot of the times, I just use addressable RGB strips.
Yeah.
And it's just connected with Arduino.
Mm-hmm.
You've met 3D Monkey. He does, yep. Peter. He has that fancy board that I actually bought a couple of them and I use. Or then just diodes that you just solder to an Arduino.
This one is interesting. This is that. What is going on here? What am I looking at?
So he's on the chat. 3D Print and Paint. He's one of my patrons, and he does these awesome makes of the dioramas. So that's the Alien diorama with the Mini Ripley, and then on mine I used a Alien Mini, and he made this kind of xenomorph structure. It was pretty cool, and then used a fog.
Fog machine,
yeah. It was pretty awesome.
That looks sweet.
I love, even on that scale, like, you don't think about it, but the LED of the light spinning on that scale is actually really fun and tricky, because there's multiple lights in there that are being controlled. And
yeah, it's pretty cool to see. Someone was saying on the chat about seeing, when you guys were talking about the makes on the Prusa printers, it's really awesome to see people creating, you know, variations on the work you do.
Yeah, going totally.
Agreed.
Further ahead. Yeah.
By the way, 3D Print and Paint is in the chat. He says, 2.5 seconds of fame. Oh, that's more seconds of fame. It's well worth it.
Yeah. And I did that for a while. Every month, I would try and get my patrons to share the work they were doing and kind of give them a prize for some of that stuff, because they did some awesome, awesome things. It was insane. Yeah, this was also, I think this one, no, there's another version of this diorama that is multi-material, but this one was awesome because he used LEDs and actually has music on it.
Oh, nice.
It's funny how the smallest details, like the LEDs, just
make it come to life.
Yeah, it just brings it to life, totally. Yeah.
That's actually a fiber cable.
To get it that small, you would either have to do super small surface mount LEDs, or the fiber cable makes a lot of sense to do it.
I wondered how you made it that small. That's nice.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Is it he or she? I'm sorry if
I'm... It's he.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a 3D print and paint. Yeah, it's he. So this is the kind of things that I try to make with the Ahsoka using. Resin to cast for the water, and then using a gel coat on top, like Mod Podge, to create the waves, and then LEDs, and making space for the components underneath the base and all that stuff.
Really awesome work on
that. Super cool. Do you have any upcoming projects that you would like to? You've kind of mentioned a few things here, but do you have anything that you
want
to share with people that's on the way?
So I try to give as much content to my patrons as possible. I tend to at least try and give 3 to 4 either props or dioramas every month, and then tons of tabletop stuff. So I'm trying to finish this Doctor Strange diorama, which I've test printed and should be ready very soon. I'm working on a Beetlejuice, trying to catch up on Waxer's models that I haven't done dioramas, which is kind of becoming a little bit difficult. So that's a Beetlejuice. And then I have a couple of prop rifles. I have a Star Trek one that I'm trying to finish. And then, like I said, I have two ready printed book nooks, but they're like really big. So I need some time to actually finish them.
Yeah.
And I have a Stargate SG-1 room fully printed. That I'm just finishing the gate front, the where the chevrons are. I need to reprint that in resin for a little bit better quality. But yeah, a lot of stuff. I'm always trying to find new ideas, unfortunately.
Cool. Even though it's SG-1, once you finish it, we need to get you and David Hewlett, on the stream.
Yeah, so actually, David, when we met on a live stream, and then when I posted the Stargate pyramid, we spoke a little bit more. So we were talking, and I ended up doing a couple more Stargate props. So there's a behind the Enterprise, there's an Aquator generator.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And I did a couple more things Stargate related. I love Stargate, so it was something I needed to do.
Same.
Yeah, it's such a fun series. So enjoyable. I can't wait for the Beetlejuice, personally. The Doctor Strange will be great, too, but the Beetlejuice...
Beetlejuice is fun.
I just need to do the furniture on the Beetlejuice, and it also has LEDs in the support, so that's...
So you're saying furniture. Are you going to do the crazy dining room?
It's the doctor's reception room.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. That's awesome.
So, we'll have the exit sign, the guards area, and then the sofas, and side table, a lamp, and some paintings.
I can't wait. That'll be so great.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be done this month.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thank you very much for coming on and sharing that. Normally we would kind of shuffle you back off to the waiting room, but we decided that since Joe isn't here with us, that it would be great to have a third talking head to join the rest of the call. So we're gonna keep you on for the rest of the call. Every show we have a contest, our Prusa Live Show Us Your Prints contest, and that means that we've got some winners to announce. If Mickey, you want to start prepping those,
already signed back in, but I just find it hilarious how right on time it just signs me out before it's so funny.
Yeah. So we may have mentioned this before, but our emails and our sessions for our Prusa emails sign out every 2 weeks, and so whenever you sign in, that's 2 weeks to the next time. So Mickey is stuck in the loop that I used to be stuck in, where I got signed out right before the show started every time, and now Mickey gets signed out mid-show. So tomorrow you just need to intentionally sign out and re-sign in, and then that will set you back a day. I'll
try to remember that.
Okay. That's a problem, is remembering to do it. But anyways, so the competition. You guys make prints on our machines. Send a tweet with the hashtag #PoundPrusaLive of the print that you made, and you have a chance to win some filament. Mickey, who do we have for number three this week?
Number three, what's happening? It's Filip Michalczyk. I believe that's probably a Czech name, so I'm going to use Czech pronunciation. Nice. And he says Prusa many, but you can only make small things, right? And then post this huge T-Rex.
Yeah. Which, that T-Rex is a lot of different pieces. And is kind of a classic model that is just amazing every time you see it.
I always want to see. So that looks like some styrofoam or something like that to limit the vibrations going to the desk.
Yeah. It's
surprising how effective, like, anything soft under the printer is. Nice job, Philip. Awesome print.
Really great print.
All right. So let's move on to number two. The tension is building up.
Uh-oh.
This one is also incredible. So it's by Nicholas Bellin, and it's Invader Zim action figures. And
yeah, I am a huge Jonah Vasquez fan, loved his work, and always thought that Nickelodeon was crazy when they decided to give him a TV show. but yeah, Zim turned out so good, and it's interesting how well it has stayed around for something that wasn't even on TV that long and everything, but it's such a great character, and these prints are fantastic.
By the way, there are some really creepy prints around the printers.
Yeah, I was looking at that.
Yeah, I would love to know more of what's going on with that hand and those feet.
Yeah, but those prints are really, really clean.
Yeah.
That's a nice color selection. Nailed it.
Yes. Yeah, right. Really, really good colors
that,
for it.
That all moves us to number one. And right, and with number one, we go to Matthew House, and it's a SpaceX Falcon 9 print. With MMU, 9 days to, what is it? Or 7 days to finish, 1 meter tall. That's insane.
That's yeah, awesome. And I love his setup there with the dry boxes all mounted
so clean.
To the wall behind for his MMU. And yeah, really, really good.
That is so clean setup, I have to say, yeah.
Yeah, that is a giant print and really fun.
And yeah, the model is also like pretty incredible where it has the internals, so you can do a stage separation and split the second stage. And it has the Merlin engine on the inside, so well done. Yeah. And the colors are spot on for all
spot
these sections.
On, yeah.
The titanium grid fins, do I see them?
I assume the flag is also MMU.
I'm not sure about that actually. Matthew, if you're watching, let us know. I would assume that's like a sticker or something, because those look really high resolution.
Yeah.
But who knows? Yeah. Anyway, congrats. That's an amazing print.
Really great prints. Congratulations to everyone. And yeah, keep them coming, guys. We love to see what you guys are making, you know, using our machines. And it gets us excited to make more fun stuff. So yeah, definitely keep showing us. All right, so we have about 10 minutes or so to take some questions. Especially if you guys have questions for Fred, we would love to hear them. They are much better than just asking about the Excel over and over again. So
we did have some like cool questions about Prusa Connect, so you can start sending those again. And I don't remember, maybe something about Prusa printers, Prusa slicer, I've also noticed. So hit us with all the questions. Oh, I have one that's excellent. Will it be possible to insert, to convert inserted objects into modifiers in Prusa slicer if I want to cut something out of it or use it as a blocker? So one, you can do it. It's not one click thing, but we have an article about that, which is like modeling with Prusa slicer, I believe it's called. Yeah. So if you want a tutorial, it's this article modeling with Prusa slicer. So the way you do it is you can in the expert mode you can load a custom meshes modifier. And you can set the perimeters and the top and bottom layers and the infill to 0. And that way you can, for example, the plane here is a custom modifier and you can subtract it or, you know, edit it. It depends, but yeah, you can remove from the mesh. But something that will be in Prusa Slicer. I'm not sure if it's 2.4 or maybe the future versions, but we will simplify this, and there will be a special modifier. I think right now it's called negative volume or something like that. It's basically Boolean, where it will subtract the mesh cleanly. So you can, in many cases, it will make sense to, you know, have one phone case model and modify it with the custom meshes rather than exporting 50 different mobile phone cases with all the different meshes in them. So, and maybe there's even more coming for this. I don't want to jinx it and say that it will be there before I've seen it live in a build, but yeah, some nice development in this area in Prusa Slicer.
Okay, Wexter would like to know if Fred is taller than the XL, and I think we can confidently say that Fred is indeed taller than the XL.
Yeah, and he knows that. He wants to bring up this topic.
I mean, it depends, you know, but yeah, I guess.
Yes, so Paul Heimel, I think I'm saying that correct. He wants to know if Prusa Connect needs extra hardware. Yes, for the Mark III, Prusa Connect will require a Raspberry Pi Zero to be able to run Prusa Connect, because you got to have something to get it on the network, and
it's
the Pi Zero
quite super inexpensive, about the cheapest, I guess, thing you can buy for it. We are not sure yet if we're gonna offer a pre-made kit with the right pin soldered on and flashed SD card, but you can for sure do it yourself. And it I don't know how much is P0, $25?
Yeah, no, here in the US here in the US you can typically get a Pi Zero for $5 to $10.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
$5 if you get the regular Zero, maybe $10 if you're getting the Zero W, which has the wireless built in.
Yeah.
You want the wireless built in. So.
Yeah. I think there was a question from me. Ethan's dad is asking if I met Wexer in real life. Unfortunately, we were supposed to kind of try and organize this year to all meet up. That hasn't happened. We'll try and organize it one day, I guess.
Needs to happen someday, yeah.
Yeah.
And Nando is asking about my Cyberpunk katana. So I actually have a model printed and not released of a Cyberpunk katana.
Ooh.
I'll have to do that.
Nate G763 has, I think, actually a pretty fun question, which is, what would Fred like to see in Prusa Slicer? Are there any features out there that
I don't know if there's anything that's missing, because most of the stuff that I kind of use Prusa Slicer. If I had to say something that I would love is kind of looking at the resin supports. One of the things I do a lot is non-organic shapes printed in resin. And it's always a problem to have straight edges and faces printed in resin. Mm-hmm. Because if you're even with manual supports, you can miss something.
Yeah.
And automated supports aren't really perfect.
Right now, you usually have to add some extra manually.
Yeah.
In 2.4, I believe you might even be able to choose different algorithms and some that ensure that it's supported enough. I'm not sure, but there are definitely changes to both FDM and SLA supports. I'm not sure if it's 2.4 or 2.5. But
I think the FDM supports are crazy good. But with resin, and I actually don't use other slicers to create supports. I used Prusa, Prusa Slicer for resin supports. But I did have a lot of the time, so I have a lot of manual supports for these non-organic shapes. And it would be great if we had the better supports for that. I know it's probably asking too much, but if we actually could just press the export or save button in Prusa Slicer and get exports for other non-Prusa resin printers, I think that would actually make Prusa Slicer a go-to option.
We've had a bunch of people ask that recently, and I mean, I know that it would require work on their side too, but it almost makes sense to me that it goes the other way, that the machines just start to support our file format rather than us trying to support their formats.
I mean, I guess so. The only issue is that most of these resin printers use a standard firmware, and as such, it's
right. But if that one firmware got updated to be able to support it, then
I think it's just this Prusa software is so good. Compared to what I've experienced.
If any devs of the other printers are watching, like, you can submit a pull request, and I don't think there's a problem with us merging it. So that's
I think, that's awesome. And I, you know, most of us that have Prusa printers FDM get so used to using Prusa Slicer that it just does not make sense to go anywhere else.
Well, and that's more what I was thinking along the lines of is like ChichuBox is such a like not great solution that it kind of would make sense for them, you know, to actually improve their end product to not have to be able to use that piece of software. And so
I guess I would have to agree with you.
Yeah, the first of those groupings that go out there and have the cheap MSLAs and say, hey, by the way, it now works with Prusa Slicer, they're just going to sell, right? Like, it's going to be a sales tactic for them rather than us needing to support those.
And again, I think this is one thing I learned is FDM and resin are really good to use in certain circumstances. And you can actually use both to make a model or a prop or a diorama.
Oh, yeah.
And you should use both because there's no point in doing some things in resin when you can do them in FDM.
I have said forever that I love mixed material projects and, you know, taking that step further of mixing 3D printing with laser cutting and CNC and everything else, and just keep, you know, pushing that forward. And in that same vein, like you say, mixing FDM along with resin printing makes a ton of sense to me.
Exactly. We have a question like ETA for 2.4 alpha. Very soon, I'd say. Like right now, we're talking like weeks, but not many, I'd say, because the alpha seems to be maturing. And also, time contest, we already like sort of mentioned that we will be announcing the winners on the next stream. That's in 2 weeks. The time contest on Prusa printers. More Prusa Mint colors just released lipstick red PETG and I don't know what color is coming out next, but I'm sure they're cooking some in the Prusa Mint department. And model painting.
Those guys are always working hard to come up with the next thing, so it's great.
Is it a good idea to buy P0 already for Prusa Connect? I don't think there's like a shortage of them, so I would just wait because it's no.
Yeah, I mean, I don't foresee them coming out with a new P0 anytime soon, but you know, why necessarily buy a piece of hardware while you're waiting on the software? You know, like you say, I don't think there's a real shortage on them, just in case Pi surprises us and comes up with an updated zero. And so it wouldn't hugely surprise me considering the fact that like the fours came along and you know, maybe unifying some of that stuff. So I don't know.
When will Prusa Connect come out? When it's ready? Sorry. Yeah. I don't know.
Yell at our beta testers now. Like the more feedback we get from those guys, the sooner it will.
Right now we're beta testing, but it's early beta. It's so
I would
say months, and I don't know how many till it's publicly available. Someone is excited in the chat. Oh, free noob for MMU painting in Prusa Slicer 2.4, and it's awesome. That will be useful for your models, I think, too, Fred. The MMU painting in Prusa Slicer.
I've tried doing a multicolor with the badges. I don't have an MMU, unfortunately, so it's one of my next items. But when I did this, and I started thinking how to do it so they could be printed in multiple colors. But also, I noticed that depending on the angles, you can actually easy paint it on the slicer. So I think that's something I need to kind of experiment a little bit more, which is understand which angles actually help people do an MMU print of the model, because a lot of people don't want to paint it. They just want to print it in multi-material. So I think that would be really cool to understand a little bit more and experiment.
Maurice is saying it will be released on Friday, but you don't know which one. I love that this meme has caught on. Yes, precisely.
Yes. Everything releases on Friday. Ice Creams 62 asked, will Prusa Connect and Octoprint stay together? ? So I think what you mean is, will you use them together? You would not. You would choose one or the other. They really kind of do the same similar things. This is just kind of our implementation to work well with our machines.
I mean, there's PrusaLink, which is basically Octoprint, which is the thing that runs locally in your network. And then there's Prusa Connect, which is able to manage multiple printers, which I don't think Octoprint can do more than one printer at a time. So it's like overlapping. Yeah. It's same, but more in some areas. And yeah, we'll see. But
that is our show.
Yeah.
So I want to thank everyone for joining us, especially thank you, Fred. And Fred
was awesome. Thank you, guys.
For sticking around and taking some user questions. Everyone have a great week. For those of you in the U.S. that are dealing with this heat wave, stay cool. Stay safe, keep printing, and we will see you in 2 weeks. Thanks for joining us. See you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Bye, everyone.